Donnie hands out three big balls to players. It's not to be Steelers players. In this case, I'll be very interested to see how many members of the Black and Gold collect a elusive, prestigious game ball. Game ball number three.
Little bit of a surprising one here, maybe. The guy didn't have a huge game, but I feel like the times he did have his hands on the football, he made some impacts. Kevontae Turpin gets number three. He started the game with a pretty big return. It gave the Cowboys very good field position. The Steelers also had a penalty accepted on the play. Cowboys get 3 points on what was a pretty easy drive to do so, especially with the kicker that they have. And what was the difference in the game? He also had 4 grabs for 50 yards. He had a big one down the middle of the field.
Yep, right here.
Got Joey Porter over there one-on-one against CD. Safety in behind him, though.
It was bring four. Zach throwing in the middle for Turpin, who's got it at the 20-yard line. Gain of 35, and Kevontae Turpin, big factor in offense tonight.
Mike Tirico agreed with you. Also, Beanie Bishop maybe should share some of that game ball because he allowed for Turpin to go off and several others last night.
How about the play where Bishop just had no idea where anybody was?
Was that the one where he got blocked by Lamb?
That was the Ferguson play.
He got blocked by Lamb. Then Lamb was like, well, I don't need to keep doing this. This guy's completely out of sorts.
It
kind
of looked like when Barry Sanders faked out those guys.
And they all just standing there with their backs turned. Yeah. I mean, he made one or two nice plays, Bishop. Like right after that play, I think he made a tackle for about a 1 yard
gain. Early on,
he
made a nice play.
Yeah, on a third down, but man, he looks lost out
there. By the way, how do you have a legal formation on the first kickoff of the game?
Can't move.
How does that happen?
Can't move. That's on that. Shouldn't that be on the head coach too? I mean, it's like, I don't want to say it's a minor thing in the scheme of things, but like the way a team starts a game, I think is very much a reflection of the coach, and they just came out not ready to go.
Mike has said starts aren't a big deal.
Sure. Finishes are. That's why they made sure to screw that up too.
Next.
Rico Dowdle gets the second one. 87 yards on the ground. He also had a 22-yard touchdown reception. He had 114 total yards in the game. This was a guy coming into this one that I don't think he got a whole lot of fanfare. Like a guy like, oh, we probably don't have to worry a ton about this dude because he hasn't done much all season.
Because he's a ham and egg running back,
Pretty much a non-existent run game, and they made this guy look good.
Here's Tomlin on the Dallas run game.
You know, as he mentioned, you know, we had to allocate a certain number of people in the passing game. And so that's, you know, that's the cat and mouse strategic component of play.
Cat and mouse.
I can tell you're the mouse,
that
Mike.
That kind of goes down in good, close football games.
You know, what's happened with most teams facing Dallas is that the cat has devoured the mouse in the running game. That has not been an issue. So this whole idea where you're trading one to give up the other. No, most teams have been able to successfully do both, including the Ravens, who only started to hemorrhage yards when they had, what, a 22-point lead in the fourth quarter of the game against this team?
Was Jerry the mouse? Tom was the cat?
You know, that's a great question.
I think Tom's the cat.
I
Tom
think
cat?
Right.
Yeah.
And then Jerry, that little SOB Jerry, man, always crawling into that little mouse hole.
So the good guy was Jerry and the bad guy was Tom?
Unless you like the cat to get the mouse because the mouse spreads disease. Jerry was portrayed as the good guy, but was he really?
Why should he be? He was a rodent.
That's what I mean. The cat is doing a public service. I think they flipped the script on us. Yeah, I was going to say the heel is actually the good guy.
Kind of like the Karate Kid.
Were there any other characters in Tom and Jerry, or was it just the two of those guys?
I think it was just like the Muppet Babies, where like whatever adult lived in that house just had no idea that there was an existential war at all times.
Donnie, the number one game ball from the Steelers' loss to the Cowboys goes to?
Jalen Tolbert. Gets it. 7 grabs, 87 yards. He had the game-winning touchdown. Prescott actually threw the football to him twice in a row. That third down play.
Hit him right in the nuts.
Yes, it did.
One hopped him in, right in the balls.
And he went right back to him on fourth down. I mean, that's a guy there. The Cowboys, you could say, somewhat of a similar situation to the Steelers when it comes to receivers. Now, CeeDee Lamb, an elite one. The Steelers just have a good one who is obviously the topic of other conversations today. But they don't really have like a big second guy. They need a player like that to step up. The Steelers did a good job against CeeDee Lamb. They pretty much took him out of the game, especially in the second half.
Yep.
Tolbert's the guy that was the go-to man.
And if you told me before the game Lamb was going to have 4 catches, no touchdowns, I'd say, okay, the Steelers got this one in the bag. Here's Dante Jackson on that Tolbert touchdown.
We were in the man, and they ran crossers, and just running, trying to fight through traffic.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he was able to get a step and get a ball in there. Yeah, it's a tough one of those.
Let me ask both of you something. You're in man defense that close to the goal line. I would imagine most secondaries, in fact, every secondary knows that one of the things that might be done, especially down near the goal line on a do-or-die play, is run crossers. That's how a lot of teams try to get guys open. Shouldn't there be a defined plan before the snap? If they run crossers, this is what we are doing?
Oh, you mean the kind of thing you might talk about during a timeout that
you take
right before the final play?
Like, Pony, you played basketball, and it's one of the few times there's actually an analog. You play man-to-man, you're either switching on every ball screen or you're not. How are you not just saying, if there are crossers, either we are switching, which is what I would have done, or if there are crossers, got to fight through it.
First game of the year, Donnie is frozen out Steelers, and I can't necessarily blame him. TJ Watt doesn't get one for getting to sack number 100.
I'm surprised you didn't give one to Mike T for helping the Cowboys in their winning effort.
That goes against the spirit of the game balls, yeah.
George Pickens gets one for managing at least one catch of
my
over
guy,
5 yards.
My guy Landon Roberts was very close to getting one if that play goes another way.
Oh, he would have been number one.
You know what bugged me? We opened the show talking about, like, with Mike's quote about, hey, if we didn't fall on that ball. Fumble recoveries, anybody that studies football will tell you now, are seen as basically luck-based. Like, it's just sheer luck how the ball bounces, who's near it, who's around it. It's random chance.
Yeah.
And you could almost feel in his answer, he basically is like, well, we should probably have figured out a way to fall on that ball. Like,
still surprised that Dak did get to it, though.